Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
Do we now have a state-mandated form of liberal religion whose doctrines are now acceptable in the state?
When you have kids, there's a whole lot more to call you out of your self-centeredness.
The reason we stand opposed to sin is not because it hurts me. The reason we stand opposed to sin is because it hurts the sinner.
The Lord's mercy is opened up to us by the death of Jesus on the cross, so that the Christian looks at everything in this life and understands it as a gift from God.
UC Berkeley alumni who still support the freedom of speech, love, issues, etc. Fiat Lux and Go Bears.
Well, I have to say that the recent weeks, and especially the kind of the climate of the Supreme Court, gives one a little bit of hope when one was, well, probably only a year ago, wondering whether or not we might be facing a very, very dark period with respect to the climate of the Supreme Court on so many areas. It was only 2 years ago, a couple days ago, the anniversary of Obergefell, when the court had very unwisely given the United States nationwide same-sex marriage. And then, with the election of a new president, the replacement of a justice, and maybe wiser heads prevailing, we see the court kind of moderating its view on religious liberty, wanting to protect it a little bit more. But is the church out of the woods, especially when it comes to education on the issue of religious liberty? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joy Pullman of The Federalist will be our guest for the next 20 minutes or so. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court's mixed message on religious liberty and education. Then Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us, a native of Germany and former religion editor for United Press International, talk about German Chancellor Angela Merkel's decision to allow a vote on homosexual marriage. There's politics involved. There's also a kind of unique German mindset, political mindset involved. We'll talk about all of that in about 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. Joy Pullman is a regular guest. She's a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Supreme Court Sets Up Collision Course for School Choice and Sex Politics. Joy, welcome back.
Thank you.
So I think a lot of people are heartened by recent court decision, the Trinity Lutheran versus Comer position that upheld religious liberty for church-associated schools, at least in the sense of getting federal funding and not being discriminated against with respect to federal funding. But why do you want to make the case that the church is hardly out of the woods when it comes to religious liberty and education?
Well, while the Supreme Court this week did release, of course, a couple of decisions that are really optimistic, make an optimistic outlook for folks who care about our freedom to live according to our consciences, it also, a couple of years ago, in conjunction with lower courts, made a number of decisions that are basically doing the opposite. They're undermining religious liberty. So obviously, I think those things are going to continue to come to ahead in various courts around the country. But the 2015 Obergefell decision that the Supreme Court handed down that forced gay marriage upon the nation also introduced some legal precedent that basically says that you can't really distinguish between the two sexes. And so lower courts are using that precedent from Obergefell to basically write into a variety of federal laws special preferences for transgender people particularly, but also gay and lesbian people. The effect of that, of course, is, applying, federal laws that apply to schools, such as saying, boys and girls have to have the same sports, facilities. They have to be substantially equal, so on and so forth. So under, all of those laws, especially with the spread of school choice in which we're having government funds going to private schools, that carries with it, of course, the rest of the laws that apply to that money. And so it's basically setting up a situation where private schools, religious schools, are going to have to fight, like a school in Indiana I talk about in the article, to just preserve their identity as a religious organization against these laws that directly contradict science and all the world's major religions on talking about human sexuality.
So, as you say, the Rainbow Lobby has pretty obviously targeted grade schools, both public and private, for testing the water on their ability to make inroads with their agenda. Talk a little bit more about that.
Right. So I've been expecting this for some time. So I live in Indiana. We have one of the biggest voucher programs in the country, but it's really highly regulated. So schools that private schools, mostly religious, it's something like 85-90% religious schools that are private voucher accepting schools. In order to get the money, they have to do a number of things that kind of push them more in the direction of the public schools that parents are trying to leave, you know, by coming to their school. And so within this state, I have been noticing a bunch of, you know, there's op-eds, people, the public discussion, especially from the left, is complaining about the fact that, you know, well, private religious schools are, well, religious, you know, they teach things that that are in the Bible. And of course, we all know the Bible is a pack of mythological bigotry. So that's kind of opened the door to that kind of discussion. And I've been seeing it go nationwide, of course, with President Trump nominating Betsy DeVos, a big school choice supporter, to be his education secretary. She has been asked in at least two separate hearings that I have seen. I mean, she's only been on the job 6 months, you know, 5 months. But she's already been asked, basically, you know, why are you such a bigot that you will support sending public funds to these institutions that, quote unquote, discriminate? They do things like say, you know, men and women are distinct creatures. God has given them, you know, differences, you know, that apply to how their interactions ought to be. You know, marriage is a specific thing and it can't really be de-sexed. Also, you know, protections for female modesty, for children's innocence, so on and so forth. So, of course, religious private schools are upholding that a lot better than the public school system is right now. And, of course, that's objectionable to folks who don't like what Christian schools have to teach on that subject.
And the mechanisms here are legal, really. And you even call it a legal tyranny. Why?
I'm hesitating because there's so many different pieces of this puzzle. It's kind of, you know, there's a bunch of different things happening at the same time in a bunch of different levels of courts and bureaucracy. But the basic trend of them is that both the federal government and the courts are basically taking, you know, we have laws from the 1960s and 70s that are anti-discrimination laws based on sex. You know, so, it's, you know, of course, feminism fought for employment and education preferences, or what they call equal rights for women in both the workforce and education. And of course, those laws use the word sex. And so what the Obama administration did, and it seems that the Trump administration is partially carrying through, as well as courts have been doing because of Obergefell, is taking that word sex, which has been in precedent and, you know, in at the time the law was enacted, understood to mean biological sex, man, woman, you know, those genetic differences. And they are saying now it no longer means sex, it means sexual orientation, gender identity, all these sorts of other fuzzy things that are not directly related to, again, XX or XY chromosomes. So basically what they are doing is the law does not provide for, you know, basically we don't have any national LGBT preferences written into our discrimination law. We have laws about race and about sex, women versus men. So what the courts are doing is in the absence of Congress reconsidering, you know, through our elected representatives, the people, you know, that you and I have voted for and whose taxes pay their salaries and their travel and so forth, you know, that's their job to make the laws to say, you know, how schools and employers are supposed to treat people. And they have not so far chosen to change those laws to make a protected class for LGBT folks. But regardless, the courts are just saying, well, basically kind of, you know, President Obama's line, you know, well, if Congress won't act, I will. well, sorry, folks, it's really not your place. It's not the job of the courts or the bureaucracy to make laws in the absence of Congress doing so. That is tyranny. You know, we did not elect the bureaucrats. We did not elect the courts. Really, what their job is to do is to carry out, to apply the laws as written. So instead of that, they're taking over the power of Congress and ultimately taking away our ability to rule ourselves.
Do you think that the newly appointed Secretary of Education in the Trump administration, Betsy DeVos, do you think she understands kind of the juggernaut that faces all schools, public schools, but also other forms of education in the United States that are often subsidized by the state?
I think she, I can't read Mrs. DeVos's mind right, but based on the public record of things that she has said and done, it seems to indicate to me that she has not in the past understood this. So, for example, her husband and she spent a lot of money in Michigan pushing to encode affirmative action practices into Michigan law. That's preferences for people based on race. She also, you know, is known to be LGBT-friendly in her private affairs and so forth. And anyway, so, and she also, according, we have to take everything that is reported from anonymous sources in the media with a grain of salt, but according to them, you know, she fought the Trump administration's decision to reverse the Obama administration's rewrite of Title IX regulations to do what I just talked about earlier, the rewriting sex to equal orientation gender identity. So there are some kind of troubling indications that she really doesn't she needs to reexamine, you know, the thoughts of self-government under the rule of law. And look, I've also read her, she cares about American-style self-government. She doesn't want a tyranny, you know. So I think what she really needs is to, I'm hoping that her experiences being really rudely pressed on this and being treated like a bigot merely for being a Christian will help her kind of be interested looking into this matter further and in guiding, you know, her own department to apply the law as written and do nothing more and nothing less.
To me, this is something of a parallel with, say, the social experimentation that goes on in the U.S. military, where it seems to be the place where things are kind of played out. They wouldn't call it social experimentation. They would just call it progress. When I was in grade school, and this was a long time ago, but when I was in grade school, there were boys and girls. The only concern I think that the administration and the teachers had about that distinction was that the boys stayed out of the girls' room and the girls stayed out of the boys' locker room. And beyond that, that was not an issue for education, for educators. Why is it now? What does it have to do with educating our children?
Well, in fact, I don't really think it has much to do with educating our children. And you're right. You know, really, what clothes you wear, what hairstyle you have to do with whether you're learning how to add, subtract, do calculus, you know, understand the basic workings of our system of government. It has nothing to do with that. But, you know, it's basically a triviality that has, you know, brought to the fore, I think, by a number of different factors. But one of them, I think foremost among them, is that especially for the left, as you mentioned, you know, schools are the place they can access children, and public schools are the place they can access the most children at one time. So as our education system has become more centralized, that has given, you know, more and more power over greater, you know, to fewer people over greater numbers of American school children. And so now the way that our education system is run essentially from Washington, D.C., you know, if the progressive left gets its hand on the lever of power over there, they can impose their agenda on the nation without the consent of parents, without the consent of the governed. So absolutely, you know, the left sees schools as their laboratories for social experimentation. And that actually is without doubt, you know, that's, you know, they openly say that, you know, with every social program they come up with, you know, they go where the kids are, and that's, in, you know, largely in public schools. And so, again, American kids are kind of sitting ducks because of the centralization of our American education system. You know, kids in Indiana, in Missouri, you know, in more non-ridiculously blue and progressive states, those kids, you know, because their representatives haven't decided that all the situation merits them, you know, returning control to the people, they're subject, you know, to be experiment test subjects, you know, for central planners in Washington. So that is unfair and it's immoral and it needs change. So limited government, reducing the size and scope of government really would help with that problem. I think other things are at play here. But the fact that our education system is really not, it's not very effective. And it's if we are talking about all these social issues that really don't have to do with the work of the classroom, then we're distracted from the fact that our schools are spending a lot of money, more than they ever have, and they're not getting very good results. You know, so there's a lot of reasons, I think. But again, the last one I think is a little cynical, but it also has me worried because I talk about in the article, I mean, research shows that the earlier that you expose children to adult sexual topics and behavior and give them, you know, ideas about what people do when they're naked behind closed doors, or maybe not behind closed doors anymore, but the more that happens and the younger that that happens, kids engage in self-destructive behaviors. You know, they become more violent, they become more promiscuous. They are, you know, get pregnant at younger ages, you know, all kinds of terrible things that really any kind person doesn't want, you know, to inflict upon children. So the more that these sorts of issues are raised in culture, they're pushed into schools and required to be a thing, the more we really are messing, you know, with kids' identity, their sense of self. And what that has, I think, the opportunity to do is, look, destabilize people who don't know who they are, who are, you know, given lies about human nature, are very easy prey for political propagandists. So once they are told that they are a special interest group and that, you know, the left is fighting for them, then they identify with that, they adhere to it, and they become basically ground troops, you know, for the progressive left's decision, you know, plans, you know, to kind of control the country from the top down.
Joy Pullman is a mother of four children, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, How Common Core Fights Parents for Control of American Kids, and a recent column titled Supreme Court Sets Up Collision Course for School Choice and Sex Politics. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us. We're going to be talking about German Chancellor Angela Merkel's decision to allow a vote on homosexual marriage. Now, she and her party have, at least in the German context, been some of the only holdouts against it. So why would she allow the vote? We will go into the complexities of German politics and of the issue. Dr. Uwe Simonetto after this.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at LCIW.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.